We're nearly at 10 o'clock. Normally we'd break for morning tea at this stage, but we've really only just started the hearing. So Bristol Grove Dairies, are you ready and willing to present to us at the moment? Good morning and welcome. We've read your original submission, so thank you very much for that. We've also read the very brief statement of evidence that you provided with the links to those websites, etc. So thank you for that as well. Now, as with the previous submitter, are there any points you'd like to highlight to us verbally, which you're welcome to do, or if not, then we're happy to proceed straight to questions. So really it's up to you if you want to highlight anything verbally to us, any key points.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're a family-run dairy farm at Grove Bush going back to 1872. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to input this very important and far-reaching policy. We appreciate this spirit of cooperation and collaboration, excuse me, which you and fellow council members are trying to portray. We hope this attitude will continue throughout the process and community input will continue to be acknowledged and incorporated into all decisions. Although we have touched on several policies in our submission when it was handed into council back in August, we will only talk about a few of them here today. As it stands at the moment, it appears that the Water and Land Plan has a strong bias singling out dairy as an industry requiring specified regulations. While we accept the practices of dairy farming need to take the environment into account, with its practices and decisions making process, other industries who haven't had the intense scrutiny that dairy has had need to be included in this plan. Our concern is that there is many activities which, if not managed carefully, have a detrimental effect on the waterways and are not included in the plan. Some examples of this is the flower or vegetable sector. It is widely acknowledged that bare soil in winter and driving on or disturbing the soil at the time holds a potential for significant sediment loss. While we accept generally growers show concern for their land, it is a spirit of fairness. Practices which significantly compromise soil structure in winter need to be indicated in the plan and have the same requirements as livestock farmers. Another example is individuals with 20 hectares or less are not currently included in this plan. As stated in our evidence, urban influence rural properties is the most rapidly increasing sector of Southland's population. Potentially in time, evidence suggests that there could be a significant proportion of Southland taken up with small blocks that could have little or no environmental awareness, excuse me, or responsibility. As stated in our submission, there are small flocks decide to farm livestock, such as free-range chickens or pigs. The runoff, only a small number of animals, but on many separate blocks, would result in non-point source discharge over a significant area. The same rules on water and land management need to apply to everyone. Everyone needs to be included so that everyone's level of awareness increases and we see all of Southland moving towards an improved environment. The next policy we'd like to present is on Rule 35, the requirements for a drop test of effluent ponds. We feel this is unnecessary, expensive and impractical for ponds which have been recently built and have observation portholes included in their design. With significant drainage channels both under and around the pond, all draining through the observation porthole. It would be very obvious in the porthole if the pond was leaking, as these pond designs have already been signed off by a very expensive chartered professional engineer. These portals should be adequate to confirm any leakage in the effluent pond. Rule 38. We would like to see amended. Effluent disposal should be in accordance with soil moisture levels, not a calendar date. This seriously disadvantages those farmers who have had their drop tests late in the season. Autumn normally is more settled weather and conditions are more conducive to doing a drop test. However, if a drop test is done in the autumn and soil conditions are not suitable for irrigation, effluent the farmer will be unable to empty his or her pond until September 30th. Those farmers who are winter milking have barns or have cows recently purchased from the North Island which calving earlier than in Southland and therefore are required to be milked in July would also be disadvantaged, as the pond would be filling during months when they would not be allowed to empty it. If soil moisture levels were to be at a level during the winter periods when effluent could be safely irrigated, it would significantly reduce the stress of the said farmer and allow for less volume of effluent to be spread in a short period, as there would be less accumulation in the pond.
It is our understanding that the original intention of Appendix N was a document that farmers would be able to complete themselves, and it would be a simple document. The application for the various resource consents required for land use, effluent disposal, or the renewal thereof was also meant to be reasonably straightforward. It is clearly not the case. In the words of our friends, yeah, right, you can do your taxes yourself too, but the cost if you get it wrong. Many farmers feel the technical expertise required to complete any of these documents is quite beyond them, not to mention the amount of time involved in gathering the information, preparing, the cost of lodging them, and the cost of getting it wrong due to misunderstanding of technicalities. There are many consulting businesses who have discovered a veritable gold mine from farmers' fear of getting it wrong. We would like to ask the council if there is any conceivable way to streamline this process. It is a very long-winded, very expensive, very frightening process, and we feel there must be a way to simplify it. We agree that there needs to be a process, but it needs to be much, much simpler than it is. While we agree there needs to be a framework in place to protect our natural resources, the current deluge of information required to be provided to council and various other entities under the guise of compliance is being repeated ad nauseum. It is also unclear in the plan as to who actually owns this information provided to the council. The default should be, in our opinion, that the owner of this information is the provider of it. Hence, Environment Southland Media, nor anyone else, has actually any right to publish any details of this information without the provider's consent. We believe there needs to be a clause in the plan that acknowledges this, and the default should be that it acknowledges this. We are concerned that due to the 1 to 50,000 scale which the physiographic units are in, should a landowner find that their land is incorrectly identified in regards to physiographic zones, there is no mechanism in place to challenge or account for this. If the landowners can have the opportunity to get smaller parcels of land more accurately identified, this would increase the accuracy of Environment Southland's own maps and be beneficial to all concerned. We support Section 42A Officer's Report in general and strongly support the catchment level approach to limit setting. Further to this, we believe that as more information comes to light regarding the current state of our waterways, a big focus on good management practice to promote a cultural shift as opposed to a regulatory approach should be encouraged. This will give those affected by this policy time to learn and adjust their practices so that when limits do eventually come into play, they will more easily be able to meet these requirements. We understand that the public demands that limits need to be set, but if we can have time to bring farmers and the public expectations more into line with each other, we feel it would be a better outcome for the environment and the social fabric of our communities. As farmers, we are disheartened and deeply saddened by the discord that has developed in our Southland community. We hope that by the time this process is eventually completed, it will have not been at the cost of our already strained relationships to those outside of the sector. We wish to continue with a level of open communication. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Those points very clearly made, as were your original points in your submission. I'll just see if the panel members have any questions for clarification for you. Can we start at your end of the table?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I just clarify the drop test you spoke about with older and recent ponds? Mm-hmm. I pick up from your submission that the newly built lined ponds with inspection traps, you're questioning whether that is actually adding value when the real value is looking at the older ponds that were built in the 90s, I presume, that were basically cut out and didn't have the same robustness around their building structures. Is that correct?
Generally speaking, I mean, if you've got an old pond that has been down, obviously some clay-lined ponds, we understand that they have cracked because of the construction of those ponds hasn't always been up to standard. However, these modern ponds that are lined have got drainage all around, have got engineers sign off. We don't believe that there's a reason that they need a drop test as well as an observation hole. We feel that the observation hole would be adequate to be able to see if the pond is leaking or not.
The second part to that, quick, thank you for that. The second part is in when you do a drop test, you've obviously got a pond that is 3/4 full, 75%, and you've suggested at the different times of the year it is going to take some time to move that down to effectively an empty pond to go into the winter period.
Correct.
Am I correct in saying that you would see that application at a low rate or a minimal rate even through that winter period? Is that what you're suggesting? So I'm thinking about 5 mils or less.
Yes.
And some will actually be less than that.
Just an indication of last winter, with it being dry through June, where effluent could have been applied, compared to some winters where it's too wet. It's, in regarding to our soil moisture.
One last question, Mr. Chairman, if I may. The, you raise the issue of ownership of data. The industry overall has been dealing with this for quite some time, so if you had any ideas on that that would help, it would be great. It's one of those discussions that goes round and around, but I understand your point about who owns it and who has access to it.
Mm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning. Your farm's located at Grove Bush.
Yes.
Whereabouts is that?
25 k's northeast of Invercargill.
Mm-hmm. And what's your physiographic status, soil status?
Multiple physiographic zones, yep.
In your submission, you talk about the depth of drains can move underground as the soil dries out. I was just wanting you to explain exactly what you mean there.
Sorry, the question?
The drains moving?
When drains are put into wet, swampy land, they shrink, come to the top. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
So they move, and also an air area. We're on a spring hill system, or layout, where we also have springs busting up through the ground. So the tile might drain it for a couple of years, but the spring will move.
So as the soil dries out, compacts down, and in effect, the tiles get So do you have a farm management plan? You're a dairy farm,
yes.
Obviously.
Yep.
Do you have a farm management plan?
Yes.
And resource concerns?
Yes.
So you'll be familiar with the critical source area?
Absolutely.
How do you manage those on your property?
Critical sources in the winter time, we've got buffer zones, and any other part of the season where it would not be safe to go near those areas.
Those areas are fenced off with air buffer zones. The grass is usually sort of quite long. We've found that the grass seems to be the most effective way to actually filter any surface runoff, which is more of, according to our physiographic zones, more of an issue rather than nitrates leaching through. There is one section of our farm which we do have a nitrogen issue that goes down. And that area we usually stay away from as far as winter cropping is concerned.
Thank you.
Good question.
Thank you for your presentation. Your preamble at the beginning, you made some comments generally about the target of dairying and a bit of an overview of farm practice in Southland. Under current management regimes that are required now, would you say that dairying in Southland is about at the level that it should be in terms of land use, or is there more potential, or are there some issues that we need to address?
I'm probably not qualified to comment on that.
Yeah, okay. But I just was following up your comment. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I need some help here. Just wanted to ask about the disposal of agricultural effluent in the winter time. Now, I assume you're referring to Rule 35 there, is that right? And perhaps the staff would give us some assistance here to us. In relation
yes.
to disposing of effluent in the winter time, I understand
yes,
there's been some changes to that, is that right?
Excuse me.
Sorry. I can't actually see my quick scan.
The submission relates to Rule 38.
38.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rule 38.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Rule 38, sorry, yep.
Yeah.
Rule 38, D, clause 4.
4, yep. Yes. So that's been deleted, well, it's been recommended to be deleted as a result of the Section 42A report. That's right, Mr. Chairman, isn't it?
Yeah, so you may or may not be aware, the officers, council staff and their consultants review the submissions and they've made a whole lot of recommendations to us about what changes we might want to consider in relation to those submissions. Mm-hmm. One of the changes they've recommended to us is to remove the May to September restriction from Rule 38.
Yeah,
so
agree
that's
yep.
a matter we'll give consideration to as the hearing proceeds, but just to let you know that staff have recommended that.
Cool.
In relation to the issue raised by you and numerous other submissions.
Yeah, no, that'll be fine, thank you.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions of clarification, but I just want to make two comments to you. You raised the issue of privacy of data in the farm environment management plans. That's an issue that's consistently raised nationwide, so we'll certainly be thinking about that as the hearing proceeds. And you mentioned the accuracy of the physiographic zones on individual farms. We're also well aware of that as an issue of concern to many submitters. The officers have recommended to us an additional policy called Policy X to allow that to be taken into account during a consent process. So we're well aware of that issue and we're very aware that a solution needs to be found, and so we'll be giving that some thought during the hearing process as well. So that's just to let you know that we do take on board the points raised by submitters and we're very open to making improvements to the plan. So thank you very much for the time you've taken to come in and present.
Thank you very much for listening to us.
Thank you. So,